जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज दुरुत श्री श्रीमद अभाजानंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। इसका अनुसार चाय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। भक्ति वैष्णविंद की जय। रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत करार हर श्री बासरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा मरव गोपीनाथ श्याम कंद राधा कंद गिरी गोवदान की जय। श्री वृंदावन सिंह प्रभुधाम की जय। नवदीप कुमार बदाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी राम की जय। गंग माई जमुन मई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। संग वीर भक्त बिंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्रीमद भागवताम की जय। श्री रघुनंदन ठाकुर की जय। बंसीदास बाबूजी महाराज की जय। जय नीताय गौर प्रेमानंद। ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ग्लोरियस टू श्री गौरांग। हरे कृष्ण स्वामी मैं विनीत प्रम श्री श्री महाद भागवताम Canto 8, Chapter 23, entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. Text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. May we offer all the benefits of hearing the sacred Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees and the Holy Dharma Sri Mayapur to the successful operation and well-being of His Holiness Javitaka Swami Maharaj. Mantratas-tantratas-chedram Mantratas-tantratas-chedram Desha kaha vastuta. Desha kaha vastuta. Savam karoti nischidram. Savam karoti nischidram. Anusankirtanam tava. Arusam ketanam tava mantras tantras chitram desha kalva vastuta sarvam karoti nischitram anusam ketanam tava mantras tantras chitram Desha kalha vastuta sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava.
Thank you. महाराज जी
Mantratah. In pronouncing the Vedic mantras improperly, tantata, in insufficient knowledge, for following regulative principles, chidram, discrepancy, desha, in the matter of country, kala, and time, arha, and recipient, vastutaha, and paraphernalia, sarvam, all these, karoti, makes, nischidram, without discrepancy, anusankirtanam, constantly chanting the holy name, tava, of your lordship. Translation: there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras or observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Please repeat. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Purport by His Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastiva, 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 Gatir Anyataha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Brihannarya Purana 38.126. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yajyai Sankirtan Praya Jagyati Hisumera Saha. Bhagavatam 11:5:29. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajyas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yagyai Sankirtan Prahe Yagyati Hushamedasaha. Although Shukracharya was a strict brahmana, addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, Nistidram Anu Sankirtanam Tava, my Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in the worship of the deity, there is still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. End of purport. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ajnanantanandasya Jnananjana Srakaya Chakshur Mitam Nithashmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namaham Vishnudaya Krishnam Sahaya Vidare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharini Nevishesha Shandvari Vasata Zaharini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and moreover there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. These are words, Prabhupada said we should take note, these are words from the Shukracharya, smarter Brahmin, guru of the demigods, demons, sorry. Fruitive, very fruitive. He's a guru, they want, demons means they want to enjoy senses, right? So then he will be teaching them all that part of the religious scriptures, the Vedas, which promote happiness, how to fulfill your desires. Krishna says that's what the Vedas are mainly about, right? That's what the three modes of material nature, how to overcome the material modes of nature, how to get to the mode of goodness, or not necessarily even goodness for the demons, because they like their passion generally. So that they like to do things and enjoy things a lot. So therefore the Vedas, they mainly deal with these subjects, how to enjoy in this life or in the next life, because that's what everyone wants in Kali Yuga. No one's interested in liberation, to go back to Godhead. Let's face it. I mean, there's only 75 people in this room. Hundreds, millions of people in this world. Billions of people in the world. We have a few oases, a few temples, a few places dotted around the world. When you go up in the airplane, you're flying from one temple to another, right? And you look down, you see millions and millions of houses and people, and you're passing and passing and passing for hundreds and hundreds of miles, and then you go down to the next city, and then you have to drive through the streets, and you come to one little ISKCON temple, one little oasis in that. It's not very much, it's very, very, where you can actually find, you know, Vaishnavas or the people that are actually interested in the goal of life. It's very rare, very, very less. It's remarkable that we, by Krishna's grace, we have such an influence in society at the moment. The influence is increasing now in society. It's amazing for the amount of facility and people that are actually there. So this is the Lord's mercy is behind everything there. So here, but Sukhacharya, so he's not much interested in this, because his students, they're not much interested in that. Going back to Godhead, they want to control and enjoy in the material world, like everyone else, most people. But even he's admitting, now his Vamandev has brought him to task, you explain the discrepancies of Bali. Now this time Bali's already gone, they've put him down to Sutal. And of course he has no answer. Or all those. I mean, there must be discrepancies there. But he's saying, he's on the spot, the Lord is there directly in front of him. He knows the truth, Sukhacharya. But he doesn't teach it because his demons, they don't want to hear the absolute truth. They want to hear the how to get facility, how to control, and how to enjoy. So now he's embarrassed. He's face to face with the Lord, and the Lord is asking, "What is the discrepancies? What is Bali's faults?" Of course, there will be faults in the procedure. That is understood. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Every endeavor is covered with fault." And here, especially, quoting Jiva Goswami, especially in Kali Yuga, how do you expect to with only 1/4 of the intelligence that we had in Satyayuga? We must make mistakes. Can you imagine having 1/4 of the intelligence you have now? We wouldn't be very smart, right? So, relatively speaking, when we was around in Satyayuga, we was a lot more intelligent than we are now. But still, we blew it. Right? We didn't go back to Godhead. We still come back again in Kali Yuga. Had all facility there. Good intelligence, and didn't have to work. No hard work. hardly any discomforts. Satyayuga, it's a nice time. Still we blew it. I guess we were too comfortable. We didn't get out of the comfort zone. Jivanashi has to go there and wake them up a little bit. Get out of your comfort zone. So that's what it's like. You're in that nice situation, and everything's nice. You know, not much impetus to move on. But still, we did have all good facility. So it's not an external situation that this is actually important. Although we put a lot of stress on the externals, but it's actually not, because you will never ever get it like Satyayuga again in Kali Yuga. You know, the government, they're devotees, pure devotees in Satyayuga. Everything's favorable there. But still we didn't take that step, and we didn't surrender to Krishna. And it's we have the same option now. We have the same option. And the circumstances are a little tougher. Now we have to find grains. We have to eat. Every 8 hours we have to eat something. In Satyayuga it wasn't like that. Right? You live on air. Pram. And then water. Right? Air? Well, no. In the Satyayuga, Hiranyakashipu lived on marrow in the bones. Prana. And then air, I guess, then water, and then... I can't remember properly. But anyway, now you need food grains. Anna. So it's difficult. You got to go outside, and you got to dig the land, and you got to make it nice, and you put some seeds in it, and you got to put some water on it, and you got to go out all the time and pull the weeds out, and you got to watch it grow. And it's hot, and it's rain, and it's difficult just to get something to eat. Hard struggle for existence. In Satyayuga, they used to throw the rice seeds. That was it. I go. Come back 3 months later. Only rains at night time, no ploughing, So it's difficult, obviously. Living is difficult, but still, it's just as difficult to surrender in Satyayuga as it is now. Because the same false ego is there, right? You know, you're really enjoying in Satyayuga. But it's all relative anyway. We think we enjoy it now. We don't think it's very... not too bad. We think life's not so bad, right? We think life's really terrible and horrible. Not so bad. Think like that. It's nothing like Satyayuga. Nothing. But whatever condition you're born in, whatever hole in the ground you're born in, Sir Prabhupada says, that is home, home sweet home. And you like it like that. And you don't want to change it, right? You wouldn't want to be someone or something else. You're happy. This is exactly the right body according to our karma, according to our mentality. We've got exactly the right body to for that. So we feel comfortable. In one sense, we feel. I mean, we don't want to change the situation. We want to improve the situation, but we don't want to stop it. Right? We don't want to leave the world behind. We want to adjust the world so it's suitable to our purposes. That's materialistic consciousness. But that's the dream, you see. It's never going to be like that because this world is constantly changing, constantly fluxing, the whole Brahmanda. So it's never, one can never be actually satisfied, one can never actually achieve one's long-term goal in the material world, because everything is temporary. We're long-term, the soul is long-term, we're eternal. We're consistent, but the material energy is inconsistent. Constantly fluxing all these modes of nature and the atoms, and constantly changing. The body is constantly changing. Everything is constantly changing, growing, dying. And we're trying to find some consistency here. This is called Maya. So in all of these, even in the ritualistic, in the religious programs that we do, this is karma. It means good activities, pious activities, not vikama, not those, what I want to do, which may not be favorable. Not vikama, karma. These are pious activities we're performing. But even in those, there's bound to be so many mistakes. According to the all these things mentioned here, Kala Desha, Patadis, time has to be the right time, no suspicious time to perform your particular thing. Then you get a better result. Auspicious time of the day, auspicious time of the month, auspicious time of the year, there's so many auspicious times. You have your Panjika, can tell you all these things. So then you get a better result if you do it in an auspicious time. Then there's the place. Dharmasetra, Kuruketra, and we gathered on the holy place. The battle took place on a holy spot. So it was very favorable for the holy people. The holy dham is recommended that one practices devotional service, and the holy dham is very favorable for practicing devotional service. But then the circumstances, the cleanliness, everything has to be pure, all the punctuality, the pronunciation of the mantras, which is very difficult nowadays. Therefore, they generally have a referee. When there's a big yagya, and there's many, and they're chanting mantras, you have one referee who's very smart. He knows all the mantras. And if someone mispronounces, then he say, hey, well, go back, and chant it again. Carry on. Because you're bound to make mistakes. So, Lord is asking, what is Bali's fault? I don't think he's referring so much to these natural faults that you're going to, like time, place, circumstances, and pronunciation, etc. Because that's, every endeavor is covered with fault. He knows that. But I think he's referring to the, more or less being cursed by Sukacharya Sukacharya telling him straight, if you don't listen to what I say, you're going to go to hell. You're going to lose everything. This is Vishnu. This boy is Vishnu. He's come to cheat you. He's going to take everything and he's going to give it to your enemy. This is what you want. Don't do it. So he didn't. And if you don't listen to your guru, you go to hell. And because Sukacharya knew what was going to happen. He had that kind of Chikala again. He said, this is Vishnu. What he'll do, if you give him 3 paces, he'll cover the whole 3 worlds in 2 paces. And where will he put his 3rd place? He knew this. Then you'll be guilty of the fault, which is a most serious sin, according to Mahabharata, to call someone for charity and not give it, and refuse them. This is the most serious sin. And for that you'll have to go to hell. I'm telling you. You know, he's very guru, big brahmana. So then Rama's asking, what is his actual fault? And you know, he had to admit, in that yajna, that when your names are being chanted, when you're present also, when your names are being chanted, that's the most auspicious thing. That will override anything inauspicious. That's so powerful. More powerful than all these rituals. He said, because he couldn't. He said, my Lord, you are the enjoyer and the lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice. You are the Yajna Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in his performance of sacrifices? It's very intelligent. Because he actually knows the purpose. Although he's not teaching, he knows the purpose of sacrifice is to please Vishnu. And Vishnu was pleased with Bali. So he said, if you're pleased, how can there be any discrepancies? That's the whole purpose of the yajna. Although he wasn't promoting that, he was promoting something else. How they could regain they could maintain ruling the heavenly planets, which they weren't really supposed to do. I mean, the Lord didn't want them to do that. He wants the demigods to do that. But they got the position and they wanted to maintain the position. And so this was the purpose of the yajna. But he knows, Sukacharya knows, that he knows what the purpose of life is. It's to satisfy the Lord. You satisfy if you're doing a sacrifice to the Yajna Purusha, that's Vishnu, Krishna. Even if they, because they worship other gods also, but in the fire, if he's worshipping the Yajna Purusha, if he's worshipping Vishnu, even the demons, they worship Vishnu, but when Vishnu appears and said, I'm satisfied, then they say, well, this is what we want. So they worship the Lord, but they worship him. They're going to ask for a material benediction. That's the purpose of it. So he knows that the ultimate goal is to attain Lord Vishnu, to attain Lord Vishnu's mercy. And so Sukacharya knows that. And to get the pleasure, to please the Lord is perfection in one's life. Right? We have two rules. One main rule in ISKCON, accept what's favorable for devotional service, for pleasing Krishna. And reject what's unfavorable. The main rule. Right? Accept what's favorable for pleasing Krishna, for devotional service. And others can. So he knows his principles. Sukacharya. But still, he's not teaching these principles. He's not following these principles because he's a guru of the demons. So not so broad-minded, his followers. So he's making them materially successful. But he actually knows. So therefore, he's saying when you're pleased by someone's activities, how can you find any discrepancy in that person? Even if he was doing something wrong, if he's pleased Vishnu, it doesn't matter. He's done. He's pleased Vishnu. That's the purpose of all the rules and regulations. Just to, by the Vedas I am to be known. What is the purpose of all these rules and regulations? They're all about purification, right? So what do you do when you're pure? What do you do when you become self-realized? When you attain liberation, then what do you do? This is a question to ask. So all these rules are before that. You're actually meant to surrender to Krishna. But we got so many other agendas we can't put aside. We can't leave alone and just surrender to Krishna. So we have to address those agendas. So when we address them in a karmic way, in a religious way, through a scriptural way, as a religious activity, make it into a religious activity. The purpose is to purify us of that actual desire. Either by giving it, fulfilling that desire so you don't have the desire, or by enlightening, or both, it happens both simultaneously. Once the intelligence becomes purified by worshipping the Lord, But it's the whole purpose is that the rules and regulations, the whole Varnashram system, what's the purpose of it? It's to bring you to the mode of goodness. That's what the different Varnas and different ashrams, they'll purify you from passion and ignorance and bring one to the mode of goodness. And the mode of goodness is not an impediment to spiritual practice, whereas the mode of passion and ignorance are. So better you avoid them, better you stay. That's why it's recommended, mode of goodness. Although, from the mode of goodness is not the goal, obviously. The goal is Vishnu. So if you don't get Vishnu, then you're no better than those in the mode of passion and ignorance. So it's better, but it's a better situation, but it's not the goal. It's a better situation to worship. So that's what all these rules are for. It's a purify our conscious, purify our senses, and purify our consciousness to give us that correct understanding. It's Vishnu who is the actual enjoyer. He's meant to be enjoyed. We're meant to be enjoyed by Vishnu. It's not that we're meant to, and everything is meant to be enjoyed by him because everything is his property, and the purpose of existence is enjoyment. His Lord has expanded himself into many to increase his enjoyment. So we're part of his enjoyment. So we're part of his Aladini Shakti also. Are we meant to be enjoyed by Krishna? In other words, we're meant to be giving him pleasure. And we've been given independence so that we can find novel ways and means, different varieties of ways to actually give the Lord pleasure. That's reality, that's real life. And everything else is something different, is the illusion. Because we're created to increase the Lord's pleasure. Our existence has no other meaning. So when we're doing that, even we don't know the Lord, even we don't know our relationship with him, so we're following the orders of the devotees of Krishna, then that is perfect according to our situation. So that is the recommended path that one should act as Prakriti instead of Purusha. That's bhakti, when you act as Prakriti, not as Purusha. Difficult. It's an ongoing practice that one should realize. One should has to think about and. Your day-to-day activities. Am I doing this with an intention to enjoy? or to bring Krishna pleasure. So this is the transformation that we go through, to being the putting ourselves in the center, then putting Krishna in the center. So we got the fast track. This fast track is surrender to Krishna. Devotional service begins at that point, the surrender to Krishna. And because Krishna is not different from his service, he's not different from his name, then that is very potent. So all these other processes, they're, you know, practically for purification, but the bhakti begins at purification. Bhakti is purification, and it is transcendental. So as soon as you're in contact with the Lord in a favorable way, then that's transcendental, that's bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is, the Lord is there. How much we realize the Lord in that, in those words that we pronounce, that depends on our adhika. But the fact is, that is nothing to do with the material world. So it's immediately puts you in a better position than all of these sacrifices and rituals. Because you're directly now in contact with the Lord. You don't wait, not waiting for purification. You're not waiting for that. You're directly chanting. And that, as a side effect, that will purify one. That's a side benefit. So you don't have to go through the purificatory processes of Varna Ashram or performing all these yagas, etc. But out is recommended here, Jiva Goswami, especially in deity worship. But you still can follow those rules, because you have to have a lifestyle, right? You have to have a culture to follow. So we'll follow, we'll accept the culture of Varna Ashram as a lifestyle. But the goal of life, the goal of Varna Ashram, liberation, not that kind of liberation. So we'll accept what is favorable for Krishna, and we'll reject what's not favorable for Krishna. Out of all the ritualistic activities, but except that sadharma, the most pertinent ones. But we know we should always be focused on what we're doing is actually for the pleasure of Krishna, and that is the perfection of the human being when he knows that, and he's and working towards that to try to develop a favorable attitude for Krishna rather than just following the rule because it's supposed to be done. This is Shantaras. We should be doing it in a way that we actually want Krishna's pleasure. So this brings us to the end of this many, many chapters of describing the glories of Bali and Vaman Hari. So even right at the end, even the guru of the demons is admitted, yes. When you are pleased, that's success. Forget everything else. No matter how many faults or how many discrepancies you made, if you are pleased, that's success. So how can I find any fault with Bali? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Jai Gopinandi Hari Hari. Today is the appearance or disappearance of Raghunandan Thakur and Bhangsi Das Babaji Maharaj. Both very, very extraordinary personalities, both avadhuts. Huh? Raghunandan. Thank you. Raghunandan his father was a very great devotee, Mukunda. You may in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was a physician, Vaidya. And once he was a physician to the king. And while he was treating the king one day, someone was fanning the king with a peacock feather. Peacock fan. And he saw that peacock fan, he got so much bhava for Krishna. He fainted. And the king sussed it out because he knew he was a great devotee. He said, "What happened?" So he said, "I have some epilepsy." No, I can understand that. So this, and Mahaprabhu this is Mahaprabhu, they were associates of Mahaprabhu at that time. Mahaprabhu blessed Raghunandan as a small child, and he asked Mukunda, who is the father and who is the son? He said, Raghunandan is the father, son is the father, I am the son. Mahaprabhu said, yes. One who gives us spiritual enlightenment or brings us closer to Krishna, he's the actual father. So this incident was that Mukunda was going out, father was going out, and he told Raghunandan, you make the offering. We prepared an offering. I can't offer it, I'm going out. You offer it. You put it before the deity and you ask Gopal, please come and eat. Very small boy. So then father left, so then Raghunandan put the boga before the deity, Gopal, and said, Lord, Gopal, please come and take. Please come and eat. And nothing happened. Please, he said, please come and eat. Please come and eat. My father will be angry if you don't eat. He told me to offer. Why aren't you eating? Please. He got and he gave him a ladder. He gave him, then please come and eat. So then, Gopal, he actually came down, the Didi came down and ate. And he ate everything. So when father came back home again, and he said, Raghunandan, bring me some Mahaprasadam. He said, Daddy, there isn't any. He Gopal ate everything. What did he say? he ate everything, didn't leave anything. I thought, this boy is very mysterious. He's not a liar, he's a very good boy. What? Very mysterious, why is he saying that? Lord ate everything. Yes, he took everything, didn't leave anything. It's very strange. I'll test him. So another day, then he said, Raghu, I'm going out again, so you please make the offering. It's just like you did before. So father left, and then Raghunandan made the offering, and then the father came back. He's watching, beeping. And Raghunandan gave Gopal a ladder, and Gopal started to eat the ladder. And then Raghunandan turned and he saw his father was watching. And then Didi went back in. Gopal went back to being his Didi. So he has the Didi there at Agradeep. Srikant. Srikant. How many wonderful devotees live in that village, Srikant. So he has a famous, that Didi is still there with ladder in his hand. And then there was another avatar devotee. Who had the whip? Jay Mangala? Abhiram Das Thakur. He had this whip called Jay Mangala. And if he beat anyone, they would feel ecstasy. They would get love of God. If he paid his obeisance to a shaligram or a deity, which wasn't a shaligram, or a deity wasn't properly installed, that deity would crack. It would be powerful. And if he paid his obeisance to a baby who wasn't actually devotee, the baby would die. So everyone was a little dubious about his when he came, he was coming to Srikant, then all the people said, He wants to see this Raghunandan. He wants to meet him. And there the parents are all fearful. He's going to come and he may check him out and pay his obeisances. So they hid him. And when he came to see them, he went to his uncle's house. He's not here. So then, Amen. He left. And then Raghunandan's friend said that, what's his name? Bhaktivedanta? Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram came to see you. Oh no, Abhiram's a great devotee. So they went running after Abhiram. No, they were the parents. Don't go. And then they met, and then he paid his obeisances. And everyone was on bated breath. Just like we're all on bated breath today, right? Waiting for the result of the operation. Everyone's on bated breath for the... And nothing happened. Here's a real thing. He's a real bhakta. And then they started to dance. And the dance was so ecstatic when Raghunandan kicked his foot, his ankle bone, nupa, it went 4 miles, 4 kilometers. You can go to that place. Nupur Kund, they made a pond there. And it fell in the house. I think it was one of his disciples. Kala Krishna. And fell there. Four miles it went. And so that place is still there. You can see that. If you go to Srikandi, you can see the deity. All devotees, many, many big devotees in that place. Very wonderful place. Yes, and Bhante Das was more a contemporary of. He was over 100 years ago. He was here. Never did. Bhaktisiddhanta used to would pay his dandavats from a distance, and he asked his disciples not to go there because they misunderstand. They used to send vegetables sometimes for him, but he said, "Don't become too intimate because you won't understand him, because he's completely on the spiritual platform." And then you may make an offense. So that one day here, people were bringing fruits, and they were putting there. A lot of people come in, and there was quite a lot of fruits, but he wouldn't let anyone touch it. He wouldn't let anyone take the fruits, Bhante. Then later on, a cow came and jumped in and ate the fruits. Bhante was laughing and clapping his hand. So they asked his disciple, what's happening? He said, well, earlier on, someone stole all the cooking pots for Gaunitai's cooking pot. He had Gaunitai deities and Radha Krishna. One set in one bag and one set in another bag. So he said, take them out and worship them at the Manasa Puja and offer things. You know, people would give him vegetables and fruits. So he'd take the deities out and offer them mentally and then distribute all the fruits and vegetables. Didn't eat much. And so he was laughing, he said, and they said, why are you laughing? He said, look, one thief gives and one thief takes. Who can understand what he's saying? But he was on that, you need to see that, he was actually experiencing his relationship with the Lord, and it's impossible to understand what is actually going on. Very, very exalted personality. It's a book, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, it's a booklet. You can read the glories of Bhante Das and his travels and how he hardly ate, hardly slept. Really love it. Bhante Das, Bhakti Maharaj, ki de. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Tagore Premanandi, Hari Hari Mo, Hari Krishna.